Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Mainstream Marketing, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. Weather in Galveston right now, it's 70 down on the island. Today, mostly sunny, high of 77, south winds 15 to 25 with higher wind gust possible. And then for tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low near 70, winds south 10 to 20. Pretty much the same tomorrow, a few clouds from time to time, but mostly sunny with a high of 78, south winds 10 to 20. So here we are, back in our southerly flow again. So let's look at tides today. We have four of them. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a high at 6:25 a.m. It's a 1.5. Then a low at 11:57 a.m., a 1.1. Then a high at 4:04 p.m., a 1.2. And then a low at 11:18 p.m., an 0.1. 6:55 a.m. at sunrise, 7:45 p.m. sunset. We're on a full moon, 99% visibility. And looking at current conditions around the complex, if I can get it up here, looks like offshore at the buoy, it's showing a south wind at 16 to 18. Water temps 72. Galveston Channel south southwest at 8 to 14. Water temp 74. And Eagle Point at 74 degree water with south winds at 13 to 16. And up at Morgan's Point at 72 degree water with a south southeast wind at 9 to 13 miles per hour. So there we are. Mostly south in a wind. And they're calling for it for quite a few days coming up. Southerly flow again. All right, let's go to the Tri-Bay area and get plugged in with the old hammer this morning and see what he's up to. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Doing just fine. Good morning, Captain Mickey. How's everything on your end?
Up and at him, buddy. Up and at him.
Yeah. You hit it right on the button. 16 miles an hour due south. Yeah. Okay. When it sounds real quiet, kind of eerily quiet. But the houses are right behind me on the back side of my house, on the south side of the house. So we can't really feel it when it's blowing from the south.
Right.
Any other direction, we can feel it. But anyway, Captain Mickey, yesterday was a long day. Believe it or not, I was just talking to you about not eating crawfish. And I had them two different places at the same day yesterday.
Good.
We did the volunteer fire department EMS fundraiser down here, and they had a really, really good turnout. We were there, I guess it was around 1 o'clock, and then my phone rang, and we had already ate down there. We were about ready to come home, and phone rang, and it was a buddy of mine, and he was just putting the first batch in, boiling them, said, come on by us, visit for a while. So we did. Matter of fact, I ate just a little bit at the fundraiser and didn't even eat over at my buddy's house. Just, oh, it smelled so good, though. And when he does it right. He puts a big old Alaskan king crab legs in there and sausage and mushrooms and you know what I mean, all the other stuff. I think we eat more of that than we do the crawfish.
Yeah, but anyway. If it's a king crab, yeah, I'll throw rocks at crawfish.
No, he waits a little bit to put those in there. He don't start off with those. But anyway, no, very generous guy, very, very nice guy. And I got to see a few old friends over there. So anyway, Lake Jackson is just a hop, skip, and a jump down here. So we just sitting around twiddling our thumbs like everybody else. I think there was I know there was a few boats out yesterday. The boat ramp was plenty full. Not sure what they did.
Well, the weekend warriors got a break this weekend. You know, they had some, calm winds and nice weather for a change. I'm sure they came out of the woodwork.
The deal is down here. With that wind blowing from the west, it blew, a little bit out of the north yesterday morning or Friday morning after I talked to you. you were right. We had that little bit of a north, some kind of a norther come through.
Yeah.
A light north wind blew anyway. It felt good yesterday morning. And then that kind of turned around, switched around from the south. We were down on the beach, and it looked really pretty yesterday. Not too many fishermen out in the surf for it to be as flat as it was and green as it was. But I'm sure somebody caught them in the surf somewhere because it looked really, really good.
The green water south move into the beach?
Sir?
Did the green water move all the way up on the beach?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, sir. It was looking really nice. Yes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take just a little bit for that south wind to blow right along the coast and sandy it up. I mean, you get these little windows of opportunity, and the next thing you know, you got south wind again. You look out there.
I hate south wind. I really do. You know, for up my way, the areas I like to fish, the way I like to do it, I like a little eastern wind. If I'm going to pull a hard wind, I want it to be southeast, not south.
That's right. It's in what we've been waiting for is a southeast wind to prevail for, you know, at least 3 weeks. It takes a little while, but not from every different direction every other day. 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of southeast wind, and it'll bring that aqua, that beautiful turquoise water right to the bank. Right to the bank. Good, sweet southeast wind. But anyway, no takers, nothing going on. Our tides kept the Mickey are still below normal. I'm telling you, every
day. Well, it's just the schedule we're on. We're going through the same thing up my way. They're up and down. Big exchanges right now with this moon.
Yeah, it's just no water to deal with. I mean, our little old shallow bays, on high tide, it's only 3 foot, 2.5, 3 foot deep in some of these bays over here, you know. I mean, the flats or whatever you want to call them. But
yeah,
those
bays are like coves. They're like flats inside of them.
They are.
You know, because they're so shallow.
They are. I went down to the past a couple of times this week. One day there was a pond of water. I mean, it's like a little pool. Like a little swimming pool.
Tide
and the next
pool,
day
yeah.
we come down there, the sand done come in and filled it up. That little hole was gone. And it's just how fast the sand shifts around on the bottom there at San Luis Pass.
It
puts sand in one place one day and puts it in another the next day. I mean, you never know about that thing. Yesterday when we were down, it's a crawfish bowl, the one here at Surfside Beach. There were some little kids playing in the dunes barefooted. And I just killed two rattlesnakes this week. I asked her mother, I said, or no, I couldn't find any parents around. So I said, hey, darling, y'all please be careful out there. There's rattlesnakes. And these were like, I don't know, 4 to 6 year old little kid barefooted as can be up in the middle of the sand dunes. I'm just going, come on, man, somebody come get these children out of the sand dunes barefooted. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, we've got to watch out for them.
I always heard, you know, about copperheads. You know, if you're close to one, you can smell like a cucumber smell. And I'd never smelled that. You know, I've killed some copperheads. About 10 days ago, I was mowing, and I was mowing an area that I hadn't been able to mow because it had been too wet, and the grass was fairly high, 6 or 8 inches in there. And I mowed one strip through there, and I smelled that cucumber smell. And I said, man, usually you run over wild onions and stuff like that and get that good smell.
Sure.
I came back through there and made another pass, and I ran over something, and I saw it sling out from under my mower, and I ran over a copperhead about 2.5 feet long.
Oh man, grass.
I could smell him on the first pass through there.
Nasty snake.
Yeah, you can have him.
Nasty snake.
You'd think he would have moved on after I'd made a pass right there by him, but he held his ground. Well, he met his maker. I got him.
Well, they're just now getting warm enough to bring the snakes out of hibernation or wherever they've been. And they're out. They're hungry. They can't hardly see. and they're disoriented, and don't make them mad. It's all I can tell you. Just stay away from them. A dead one's the best one.
When their vision isn't good, they strike at heat. Well, anytime, whether they can see or not. I mean, they feel that warmth. That's what they strike
at. We have right here in our driveway, and here's another thing. People just don't look out for them. This time, it's our nesting season right now, and we have these killdees that every year, you know, with all the rock, we got crushed concrete and gravel and stuff in our driveway. Every year, those killdees make a little nest right in the rocks, and they blend in. They blend in. We're camouflaged. The eggs are spotted just like the rocks. It's a hard nest to see. But anyway, we got four little bitty old chicks, the killdees now. I don't know how long they're going to last because one of our neighbors lets his cats run loose and it doesn't go good in nesting season. But anyway, there's four little bitty old chicks. Normally they have two to four, and four is a lot for a killdee. But anyway, they're cute little boogaroos. And so it's that time of the year, nesting, and it's rattlesnake season.
Snake will get them or a cat will get them.
Snake watch 101 down here right now. But we're on the rebound. Our bay, well, now that you say, the south wind is going to be blowing, and boy, it's hitting it right now, 17 miles an hour on the button. And south wind's going to sandy it all up again. So it was getting there Tuesday. Yeah. And I sent you the picture of that fish, and that was caught on Tuesday night. Things started looking good on Tuesday, and then Wednesday the south wind picked up. You know, it's just, you got to be there, be ready to go. Anyway, that was a beautiful fish, and the guys are really good fishermen that caught that, and they're always real careful with them, because who wants to have to take a big old hook out of the throat of a 8-pound fish, trout?
That was a nice fish.
That was.
It was caught off a pier, it looks like.
Yes, sir. Tuesday evening, the redfish were so thick you could walk on top of them, they said. And then as it got dark, the trout moved in a little bit later on. But yeah, it was under some lights. Bait camps are holding bait. You're going to pay $20 to $24 a quart. Mud minnows, finger mullet. And actually, day before, yesterday, I seen a croaker flag. I hate to say it.
Yeah, you told me that the other morning. You saw a yellow flag flying.
Yeah, it's a little early for it. But normally, by the end of May, things start getting real hot, man. And that's the bait to use. But, anyway, let's see. Captain Mickey kind of struggling this morning.
Well, that ought to do it. That's good. I got to go anyway, Glenn. Somebody wants to talk to you about coming down and fishing with you. Give them a number.
You bet, and I appreciate it. 713-208-0683. Y'all have a great fun Sunday, and thank you so much, Captain Mickey.
You too, Glenn. See you now. Later.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Onyx PFDs. You know that approximately 70% of all fatal boating accident victims drown, and out of that 70%, 87% of them were not wearing a personal flotation device. And a PFD, it's like wearing a seatbelt. It's the biggest safety feature that is proven to save your life. And Onyx AM24, that's the one I wear. It's very comfortable. It's convertible from automatic to manual or manual-only inflation. It has a low-profile design, so it keeps you comfortable, especially in hot weather. And it has a soft neoprene neckline that won't rub you raw when you move from spot to spot in rough water. The durable ripstop fabric resists tears and punctures. Inflatable PFDs when they're not recommended for children and non-swimmers, but Onyx has a complete lineup of flotation devices to fit every situation. For more information, visit onyxoutdoor.com. That's onyxoutdoor.com, or you can check them out at Academy Sports and Outdoors. I wear Onyx PFDs. You should, too. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:18 here in the Bayou City, and we're going to double up this morning with Jeff Naylor and Casey Cundiff. We're going to talk some offshore out of Freeport area, see what's up with these guys. Good morning, guys. How's it going?
What's going on, Cap Miggy?
Hello, hello, hello. How are y'all?
Hello, good. You made it, Jeff.
Yeah, I did, man. I'm actually up here on the mount.
On the road trip.
Yep, definitely. Every single time there's a good weather window, you know, I'll be planning to be somewhere else, apparently, because...
Well, stay out of town. Get out of here. Stay gone and be gone.
It was a good weekend, man. I mean, a good week all the way around. We got a bluefin caught, a ton of bottom fish. It seems like a lot of people got out there and got to do some fishing at least. So, all the way around, it was a real good week so far.
Yeah, you know, it's not a matter of if the fishing's good this time of year. It's that nobody ever really knows because they don't ever get to get out. But we've had a good, really good window here the last few days. So
yes,
yeah,
same way.
Been able to get to see what the potential is for April for deep sea fishing. It's pretty good if the weather's decent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Fish are snapping. I mean, Smith and Sons over here in Freeport came back with a pile full of bottom fish this week. It was a bunch of, I'm seeing a lot more queen snappers. And, I mean, Casey, they had the yellow-eyed snapper, black-fin snapper.
Shot,
yeah, I mean, the whole smorgasbord of snapper species, which is not exactly easy to come about around here. So, I'm glad to see these things, the different kind of species and stuff like that pop up. But, along with that was they had a little swap meet this week with at Chris Gonzalez's Serious Tackle. And, a lot of those guys that were on that Smith & Sons charter and a lot of these other charters are those jiggers, I mean, what a technique and to me, the ability to kind of cover more ground, much like lure fishing versus live bait fishing or something to that effect, it's just, I don't know if that's kind of the reasoning behind some of the bigger hauls that you see or what, but it certainly seemed to be working. So,
yeah. From the look of what they
tile fish in that picture too.
Oh yeah, good tile fish. Oh, yeah. From the look of what they brought in, it looks to me like they went really far to the probably to the east to catch all those yellow snappers and stuff. That's just my guess. I think they probably trekked way east on that trip.
I mean, Casey, what would you consider a yellow-eyed snapper, the depth of water be? I mean, I know the gardens and stuff, we get them in the 300-foot range, but, I mean, can you get them real, real deep, deeper than that? Or?
Yeah, I've caught them in the Geyer Bank area before. I don't think necessarily, so deep as some of those other species maybe, but I'm thinking 700 or 800 foot is what I'm guessing, but I really don't know. I mean, that's just kind of what I've experienced on them, catching those occasionally.
Yeah.
Now, were those yellow eyes or were those silk snappers? I think they may have been maybe some of each one. I'm not sure. But I know there was probably some silk snappers in there too.
That's a good point. Actually, there was one bigger one, it had a yellow tail, I'm not exactly sure. Looked like he was right there in front. But anyways, but, yeah, I mean, so that garden area produces very well, Geyer Banks, all that stuff to the east, and a lot of that stuff is, I mean, there's a ton of ground out there, off of Galveston Coast for sure, east-west gardens, in between there, rock formations. I mean, those queen snappers, not something that you generally see. I mean, have you run into a bunch of queen snappers out there, Geyer?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think. I think you got to be fish either around the edge of that thing where it's really deep or, off past it, because I think it's like 700 feet or 600 feet around the edge of that thing, and then it comes up to, on top of the Geyer Bank, it's under less than 200 feet. You can get to like 120 in one spot, I think, 110. So it's shallow on top of it. It's deep around the edge of it. It's like 700 feet around the edge of it. It comes straight up. It's crazy when you drive up on it and see it when it comes up, on the fish finder. Yeah, it's quite a rise.
Yeah, it is.
Quite a ride.
Yeah.
That's good structure. A lot of current flowing around those edges like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely. We've We fished last winter around the gardens in that 300-foot range. In the West Gardens, I think, is where we started and found most of the fish yet. But we were about in that 300-foot range using jigs. And actually, the current was ripping good enough that, I mean, you had to have some pretty sizable jigs to keep down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those, every one of those fish, those tile fish and everything else, got those big long ones in it. Look like they're, you know, fairly heavy anyways. So, I don't know, man. Seems so, like good
so
fishing,
a lot of
though.
Those fish, a lot of those fish came off of jigs, from your understanding, Chiff?
You know, so, again, a lot of the jig groups are booking Smith & Sons right now. Now, I don't know that 100% for facts, but I think that is the case. But, you know, again, I mean, the times I've seen some big hauls like that, a lot of them are, especially on bottom fish.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what's even worse than your situation? At least I was here and I didn't go fishing. So I was here and didn't even catch the weather window and didn't go out. So, yeah, that was bad. Bad on my part. Bad job.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, some of the other notable catches, though, are, you know, several swordfish have been caught this week. Lots of other tile fishing and that kind of stuff. I mean, you went, not last week, the week before, Casey. You got some good beeliner catches.
And I got some good beeliner information for you guys, too, I'll tell you about. Yes. They're spawning right now, apparently. I talked to a commercial fisherman the other day, came to my dock and got some fuel, and they caught 1,000 of them. They actually caught 999 of them, 999 beeliners, and they said they couldn't get away from them. And they were fishing fairly deep. They were fishing 300 feet, and I said the beeliners were crazy. They caught right at 1,000 of them on one trip. So that's a lot of beeliners.
Yeah,
and they weren't small. They were all big ones, too. Yeah.
Wow, man. Wow.
So they're out there, too, right now.
Which is very odd. I mean, traditionally, the beeliners will come in shallower water during the springtime, correct? And what I always thought was it was a spawning pattern that brought them in. And then as it gets later in the summer, they'll start pushing back out again.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy. But, I mean, this guy, I talked to him. He's, you know, that's the only place they fished was out deep. So they could have been in shallow, too. And there wasn't anybody fishing for him in there. So it could have been some being caught in, you know, more inshore. But that's where he was, and he was catching them. So, yeah, he was at crazy load. I mean, that's a lot. He goes, I can't believe we missed 1,000 by one because they had 999 of them. Like, well, I think you probably could have caught one more if you would have known.
Yeah, you catch them like that, I think one more wouldn't have been a problem.
No. You know, that one bluefin is the only one that I've seen all week, but, you know, the day is young. I was talking to Mickey yesterday, and I was telling him that several people have been calling me all week trying to get spots, stuff like that, and get information. And so I expect a lot of people are still coming in, you know, either this morning or this afternoon and stuff like that. So I'm not putting it out of the cars, not to see another bluefin hit the table before the weekend's done. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
What's the quota on those in the Gulf?
I think it's, you know, and it's roughly about 10 fish total, you know. And that's 10 fish if it worked out perfect where, you know, they caught, I think it's 3,000 power 5,000 pounds, something like that, and it works out perfect. Get the last ones caught, and then a few days later, you know, they close it. Sometimes it goes a little bit more than that. You know, a couple years ago, we had a good 2-week run there where there were several of them caught in the same week, and it pushed, I think we ended up catching 15 or 16 that year total for the Gulf, but it's not much, man. I mean, you know,
listen, only about 10. The second one I've heard of.
Yep. A couple weeks ago, we saw one come in. Now, there has been one caught out of Venice, one out of Venice, and I believe one out of potentially Florida or Georgia. Yeah. But yeah,
that
anyway,
would, that would count as Atlantic then if it was on the
right,
side
right, right. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
So the one that was caught recently, Jeff, it was caught here out of Texas.
Yeah.
Freeport.
It's out of Galveston, Pelican Rest.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, 884. It's a pending state record, they claim.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
What was Cameron and them's fish, the state record? 874, I believe.
Man, and I tried to go back in history and look at
I'm
it yesterday,
try and get
but
a
hold
I got
of
James
busy.
And Cameron this morning, and we'll talk tuna with them a little bit, too, about this. But
I know they caught one out of Louisiana one time. It was like 1150.
Yeah, that was a record.
Yeah.
That was
you know,
Louisiana
Casey,
state
it was
record.
You know, Cameron and them, they beat the record. They beat themselves the very next year, right? So they caught one that was, what 840 or something, and then turned right back around the very next year and caught one about 20 pounds heavier. Am I mistaken on that?
Man, I don't know. Don't get me to lying on that one.
But it's very interesting that all these fish, you know, a lot of these fish are right in that 800-pound range. I mean, you know, and they're
and they claim they lose several hundred pounds from Nova Scotia to here on the swim.
Yeah.
You know?
They really don't have quite the food quality that they – I mean, they're edible. They're good, don't get me wrong. I've got a piece of one that was caught here a year or two back, and it was – they don't – they lose a lot of their fat. The fat content goes away. Like you said, they lose a bunch of weight, so their meat quality – it's not as of high its quality when they're over here in the Gulf as it is when they get up there and fatten up. I mean, they're just the quality of the sushi grade meat's not near as good, but it's still good, you know, but not quite to the quality of what it is right. when they're up north.
Huh?
Yeah. Which is, I've heard that from several people actually, exactly that, you know, and that was Anthony Lopez's fish, that steak that I brought you last year, I think it was, wasn't it, Casey?
Yep. I mean,
let me
wasn't
knock
anything
this break out,
it.
Gentlemen. Y'all hang on just a second, and I'll come back to you. Y'all hang with me.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey, anglers, are you ready to hook into something big? It's time for the Matagorda Slam Fishing Tournament. That's happening Friday, April 25th, down in Matagorda, Texas. They're kicking things off Thursday night, April 24th, so join them at the captain's meeting and Calcutta dinner at Rusty Hook Ranch, along with Rudy's Barbecue, cold drinks, and a chance to get in on the action before the lines even hit the water. Imagine that. Then it's game on. Safe light launch Friday morning, and weigh-in will be at the Matagorda Harbor between 2 and 4 p.m. So bring your A-game, your best team, and your lucky rods. Entry fee is just $400 per team. And here's the best part, your entry includes all-you-can-eat crawfish on Saturday at the legendary Matagorda Slam Crawfish Cook-Off. Proceeds benefit the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association, helping get more kids on the water and into the great outdoors. Spots are filling fast, so register today at matagordaslam.com. That's matagordaslam.com, and get ready to slam. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 4:35 here in the Bayou City. All right, guys, we are back.
Back in action. Back in action.
Here we are. You bet.
You know, completely side note. Just brief. We went to Oregon to go snow skiing this weekend, and we went up to the Timberline Lodge. And I tell you what, I highly recommend anybody go skiing up there. It's beautiful. We said Timberline Lodge is a national monument. Roosevelt actually toasted it years ago. It was beautiful, but we got to go down the Columbia River yesterday coming back towards the airport, and the Chinook run is going on right now, so there's, you know, everybody's camped out on the Washington side of the river, and I mean, you talk about a scenery, I mean a breathtaking scenery, you know, drive down, I think it was 205, Highway 205, something like that, but absolutely gorgeous. Anybody who gets an opportunity, you should come up here and check that out. But
hey, Jeff, you didn't go king salmon fishing? You didn't go get you a Chinook?
No, I didn't. I did not. You know what? We passed the hatchery too, and like I said, it's the runs right now, and all the people. I mean, there's just, you know, massive people camping out on the Washington side of the river, right up next to to the dam. Didn't do it. Didn't have time. Not this time. Next time.
No,
anyway,
too busy being a snow bunny, huh?
I guess. Yeah. It was, I, you know, go through life and you just don't realize, you know, what you're missing sometimes until you find it later. But, yeah, these people get, they do snow skiing year round. You know, I didn't even realize that. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, the fishing, I wish I was there. You know, you hate missing windows like this, but, you know, it, sometimes it's worth it, I guess. But,
it appears as if it's pretty much over now, too. The wind's going to start picking up pretty big time, especially about midweek.
Southerly flow, buddy.
Yep. The southerly flow's coming.
Back in that pattern again. Yeah. It, that's the heartbreaker. You know, you only get a small window. And, you know, when you see these little windows like this and lots of people catching fish, you're thinking, man, you know, those fish are out moving around. Not really that. They just hadn't been messed with in a very long time. So they're hungry, you know, and you pull up on them with a bunch of food and, you know, they're pretty much jumping in the boat.
We didn't even talk about the red snappers because, of course, they're closed. But these commercial fishermen are catching some snapper, too, and they're catching a lot of big ones right now. They were, like I said, that guy I talked to, he was fishing 300 foot, and they were catching, you know, all beeliners and all big red snappers, not even that many small ones. It was pretty crazy what they brought in. So, yeah.
You know, and that's wild, too. And that 300 foot of water, you know, that's I always constitute that as kind of like the breeders or, you know, that's. You got that 300 foot of water, and if you get some big ones, it's normally going to be a good year, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, just in my perspective, and
I think it is going to be a very good year. This summer is going to be a very good summer for snapper. Of course, it always is, but I don't think that this year will be any exception. I'm interested to see if we're going to get any amberjack fishing this next month in May or not. Because they're out there, too. When the last time I went fishing, we caught and released several nice amberjacks a couple weeks ago, so they're already out there.
What is that, May 1st deal?
Yeah, last year they did it the whole month of May. Yeah. The whole month. So we didn't get, I remember, because there was very few windows last May, because I went out.
I remember that.
One of the only ones, and we were able to catch some one day last year. But, yeah, May was really bad last year. So hopefully this year, maybe it's a little bit better.
Man, we're so overdue for a calm May. You know, like we've seen in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, for sure. And so hopefully they'll
As a charter guy, you just hope and pray that you get a May season. Because, I mean, really, like I said, that's the bill payer. You know, if you can get – we went through a few years there where you get like 10 in May, you know, 10 charters in May. And that pays the at least the insurance and the permits, you know, and then all of a sudden you don't get it. And the feds, ironically, last year, the year before in 2023, I believe it was, they basically told us that they would give us a August, September, October AJ season, but they were for sure taking away 2024 AJ May season, the early spring season. And then come 2024, boom, they just give it right back. So you don't, it's like the wall. You never really know what's coming. And so, you know, to go further, they had this great amberjack count. Technically, we're not even supposed to, I mean, you know, per that logic, we probably shouldn't even get a amberjack season for a while. But I have not heard them say that we're not getting the August, September, October season. I guess you really never know, but I doubt that we're going to see the May season this year just because of the restriction they put on the last few years, and then all of a sudden they backed off of it last year. So I would very well expect that we wouldn't get the May season. Who knows? You know, NOAA's a moving target. Like I said, it's crazy. Now, Texas does regulate the snapper in Texas as far as federally. Yep. In charter boats, they don't necessarily regulate how much we can catch, but they don't regulate the date as much, but they definitely don't with the amberjack. So it's all on the feds for amberjack.
Yes, right. You know, it's good and bad. I mean, push comes to shove, May's a better month to catch amberjack, but it's a harder month to get offshore to catch them in the first place. So it's like it's a great month for them if you can get weather.
Right.
So
right.
The problem is we don't used to get it. May's always going to be an iffy month, whether it's a good year or a bad year, because it's just that time of the year is tough because it's late spring and the wind blows, and it just always has. But, you know, you do get some, especially later in May. Sometimes the last couple of weeks in May can be decent. I can remember some Memorial Day weekends that was, you know, calm for 3 or 4 days straight. And my birthday is right at the end of the month, and I used to go fishing on my birthday all the time.
Right.
It does happen, and it can happen. Hopefully this year it will.
Yeah. Now, on a positive note for this, for everybody, this is, you know, the price of oil is dropping as we speak. You know, hopefully it doesn't get too far, you know, but we're still, I think it's in the low 60s per barrel, which is probably still okay number. But what it does do is give some of our offshore guys a little cheaper fuel for the summer. What prices are, so if everybody, Mickey, if you don't know, Casey sells fuel there in Freeport, right next to our house. Matter of fact, it's kind of like a fuel club. It's not necessarily a fuel depot where anybody can just go in. You have to have an account and you know, that kind of stuff. But you can pull up any day of the week. It's an app on your phone. You pull up and get it, and he actually bills you later. But so he knows a lot about the fuel business. And what is the forecast as far as prices?
Well, I mean, right now I'm selling it right at about $3.25 a gallon on the water. And I expect that number to probably decrease a little bit with the next, you know, I go by my inventory. And when I resupply my inventory, the price changes. So right now that's what the price is. But, you know, I anticipate it to be cheaper, because a little cheaper than that the next go around when I get my next load in, because prices have dropped. So, and the beauty part about it is I only have really a couple of spaces for a boat to pull up and get fuel, but it's a 24-hour deal. You can come anytime you want. There's no open or close time. If you have an account and you have the app on your phone, you can come get fuel whenever you want. So
that's cool.
It's a do it yourself deal pretty much. Unless there's a problem, and then I get a phone call. And then
what do you have? Both diesel and gasoline?
I've got diesel and gas both, yes.
Gotcha.
I supply some commercial fishermen with fuel. There's a boat. Sport fishermen occasionally will come. I got a few with memberships, and then I have the dive boat, the Texas Caribbean Charters right there that docks at my dock, and they run dive trips out to the flower gardens and stuff, so they buy fuel from me too. And then a lot of big center consoles, charter fishermen, and, you know, tournament fishermen I have on as an account. Because generally speaking, with a low overhead system that I have there, and it's just me, there's no employees, there's no dock hands, so I can afford to sell it for cheaper. So people a lot of times like to take advantage of the cheaper price.
Well, that's good.
Generally, I'm about 50 cents to a dollar cheaper, at least 50 cents cheaper than everybody else around on the water, generally speaking. So.
But speaking with the folks that fuel his tanks up the other day, it looks like these lower fuel prices are probably going to hold through the summer. There's not really any kind of forecast of jumping up. I think they've already switched to summer blends. Some of them have. So there's, you know, you always have a little bit of a spike right before the summertime with the quote unquote summer blends. But I think that they have already crossed that threshold. If not, it's not going to be that big of a jump in terms of the forecast through the summer. So, I mean, that's all good positive stuff. I mean, looks like it, you know, for those of us who can afford it, maybe it won't be me, I don't know, but to go out and fish a little bit this summer, hopefully it ain't going to hurt the pocket as bad. So we'll see. Seems like everything else in this industry is about to fall apart, but you know, currently, you know, it's so ironic too, and I'm being completely honest about that. So I have, you know, these permits, and I always kind of judge about how good the year is by how I've got one set that gets leased every year, and just see how hard it is to lease, who does it, you know, just the responses I get from that. And I tell you, it's been dead. I put that set up about a month ago, and I haven't got a single hit, a few people. So that gives me a little bit of worry about the summer charter business, but we'll see. I mean, you know, it's hard to tell currently. But, I mean, who knows? The prices of boats are coming down. You know, it's just, you know, I think, oh, the market has overpriced everything, especially in fishing, you know, which everybody's yeah. seen for a long time. But hopefully yeah. It won't be too unaffordable.
Well, it's all started with that COVID deal, and, man, it's we need stuff to come down. It costs a lot of money to go fishing nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. You know, the amount
and of, most of the guys who charge, you know, charter fish, I mean, they really don't get what you need to get on a daily fishing trip and take people fishing, but you can't charge too much or you're not going to get any customers.
Yeah. So, I mean, profit margins aren't there like they used to be.
Mm-mm. No, no,
no, not at
and
all.
And fuel is probably the biggest expense of all. So, I mean, you know, I'll continue to report on what the forecast looks like as far as fuel goes, pricing and stuff. Obviously, Casey sells fuel, so I got a guy, you know. But
you know a guy, yeah.
I know a guy.
I know a guy.
Jeff was my first. I think Jeff was my first club customer. He was the first time that started the process.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, and so I tell you what, I mean, if anybody has good deals, you know, post them up on that Morning Sickos page or something, and you know, we'll get each other through all this these hard times. But I expect that it's going to get tough, you know, before it gets better. But at least the fuel prices for this summer look like they're going to be good. So, you know, there's one last thing, but... if you got a charter that you thoroughly enjoy, you know, go and charter that person this year. You know, make an extra effort if you can. It might be what they need to push them through. You know, I was talking to Sharky about this the other day. Overall, charters are down this year from what he's telling me. And, yes. You know, coming from Galveston, that's saying a lot, you know. Here.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty rare for us to get any pre-summer charters, you know,
mm-hmm.
minus the Bull Reds and stuff of that nature. But hadn't had too many of those either. So, I mean, it's been odd, you know.
We got to get this younger generation to fishing a little bit more, man. I need to get off their phones and go fishing more.
Good luck with that. Good
yeah.
luck.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, times have definitely changed just in the last few years. You know, it's just been pretty drastic.
For sure. But, so, you know, the future as far as what we're going to do, I mean, I think that, you know, we're still aiming for another, hopefully we get another window between now and summertime for the, you know, snap and all that stuff starts. Dying to get a bluefin. I've been talking about it for years. It just makes me sick that I didn't get out this weekend, but it is what it is, man. It is what it
well,
is. You know,
I mean,
one
don't
thing
we I, have, we got some time on the bluefin because this is about, I mean, I feel like March through May, but I feel like the later part is when they really start catching them, like between now and, you know, you probably got a good shot at them all the way through May.
Yeah.
Or at least the middle part of May. So you just need one more window, Jeff, one more and you'll get it.
I know, man. One more.
It, we'll get one.
You know, they normally, they'll stay here for about between, you know, I this is just me looking back in history, in my short history of watching these things, about 2 weeks to a month. And so if you caught one a couple weeks ago and then you caught one this week, man, you'd be looking at a couple of weeks probably at best. I would expect that you know, the end of April is probably the close of this, but
okay.
We'll see. I've never actually seen one caught in May before. I guess that could, you know, any given year, I guess it could change, but
yeah.
You normally don't get much time. Once they get here, They either turn around and turn and burn, but they will get here thick, though. A couple years ago, man, there was about four of them caught in one day. So, actually, it's five. Five caught in one day, or at least a 24-hour period. So,
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, we were out there, and they were just left and right. And, well, I mean, we were sitting right next to the guys that caught one. So, you know, everybody asks, like, what do you do different? And really, the answer is nothing. Actually, legally, it has to be nothing, you know. But, you know, a lot of the fish are caught off live baits, you know.
Yeah, black from somebody bill fishing. A lot of bill fishermen catch them, right?
A lot of bill fishermen. But equally, probably as many on, well, the ones I've heard about, you know, mostly on live bait, but they will eat a lure too. I've heard of a couple are actually caught on some, you know, a big marlin lure in the back. We had one hit on a real short marlin lure we had. We had just caught a marlin. We put a yellow or a pink. It was a pink big juggerhead marlin lure, and I'm talking right behind the boat. It was, you know, basically right on the top of the wake is where we were at with that lure, and he just come up there, smoke it, and of course they spooled us. We couldn't stop it. It was on a 50 wide, but your gear wise, that was it. It was toast. I mean, and you could tell it was one of those. It wasn't stopping. It didn't give us, you know, didn't even slow down. It just tink. And that was it. But you know, I've heard about them catching some on some 80s. That one there was a 50. That was a 50 wide Shimano TLD, old one. But, you know, they've caught them on 80s with a lot of braid backing. If you can stop that first run, you know, you got a good chance. Probably about like any of those big fish. But a 130 is optimal. You know, you want a couple of miles worth, apparently, in line, because they go straight down.
Man.
Yeah, and there's a lot of bottom underneath them, too, out there. They can go and go
Right.
They're deep water, man.
Yeah,
that's right.
They sound on you, man, and that's a long ways.
Yeah, they're hightailing it straight down. And more often than not, they end up dying. So the real hard part is trying to get them up after they die.
They die. Oh, I've heard stories about that, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, and there's, you know, the trick, I think one of the captains was telling me, you know, it's caught several of me. He said, man, you gotta have some big breaking straight line and just drag them forward.
Yeah.
And stop and put it in reverse and just, and then just try to gang. And then do that for several hours until you get that big old. I mean, you're picking up a VW bug from the bottom of the ocean.
That's it, know, man. That's a lot of weight out of a giant fish, man. Well, look, I got to run, guys. Jeff, throw your number out, and Casey, put yours out too. Somebody wants to become a member of the Fuel Club.
The Fuel Club.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Give us a call anytime at 979-417-1013. Coach Casey, go right ahead.
979-373-1398.
Casey's Fuel Club.
Yeah,
all right, man.
Casey's Fuel Club.
Well, you gentlemen have a great weekend, what's left of it, and always good talking to you. We'll check in next week.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good week. See
you. All right, thanks, Mickey.
All right. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.